Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values.
We take dominion today over the powers of darkness that have ruled over our nation, and we command them to be broken in the name of Jesus. For this is the hour of the church, says the Lord, and not the hour of man. And by the end of this year, says God, the greatest outpouring that you've ever seen is going to hit the United States of America. Starting January 20th in this year, hallelujah, God is going to begin to declare that there is a release of an unprecedented move of the Holy Ghost like we've never seen in our lifetime. Thus saith God, I'm coming after the strongholds that have ruled over this nation for decades, and I am pulling them down by the power of the Spirit of God. For the violence that you see in the land and the roaring that you hear over our nation is demon spirits that are crying out because the angels of the Lord have come to silence them for this hour. And just as the world has put a mask on the church, and just as the world has put a muzzle on the people of God, the spirit of intimidation that has risen against the church, I, the Lord thy God, now I'm going to take that spirit and I'm going to put it on the world. And the heavens that have been brass, says the Lord, I'm breaking by the power of the Holy Ghost. For 4 years, saith God, from 2021 through 2024, this is the last final harvest, saith God, that is going to hit this church. No demon will be able to stop the glory of the Lord that's coming. Get ready, says the Lord, for the holiness of God is coming up in this hour. And I, the Lord thy God, will take no backseat to a man. For what I'm getting ready to do, says the Lord, will not be known by personality or name, but it will be known by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pull down strongholds over this nation. Sports will not recover, though they say they will. Theaters are going to remain empty, saith God. And the church is going to begin to fill up, and the glitter of sin that has drawn the sinner to the world is now going to be tarnished, and I'm going to cause the church, saith the Lord, to rise to her feet. There is a roar of the line of Judah, saith God. I'm going to release divine healing upon the nation. I am also coming after a generation of young people that have never been in church, never known God. I'm going to invade the homosexual community, and I'm going to set them free by the power of the Holy Ghost. There is anointing, saith the Lord, that I am releasing over this nation. Just as the laws have come out of this city in the natural, saith God, so now is there a law being released out of heaven that says my church will not be silent, for though I am raising up, hallelujah, mighty men, for the spirit of Jezebel has ruled over this nation for a century, but I have raised up an Elijah anointing, saith God, that's going to break the spirit of Jezebel, and there's going to be peace in the land. There's going to be silence amongst the liberals, saith the Lord, and I'm going to put a roar in the mouth of my people, even to the age of young 5 and 6 year olds. The glory of God is getting ready to come down upon this nation. Give a shout, saith the Lord, for I have not forgotten thee. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. In 1906, William Seymour said this: there is another revival coming up about 100 years, and if the bloodline is going to cross the color line. Hear God today. This is not about color. This is not about culture. This is about the church. And God said the church is my body. So today I release healing into you. I release a spirit of boldness upon you. You come against the spirit. Rise up, saith God. Whatever you bind, I'll bind. Whatever you loose, I'll loose. cross, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is a liberty, saith the Lord, I am releasing over this land, and it is a harvest of souls. Your churches are going to fill up. Your children are going to praise the Lord. Your bodies are going to be healed, because I declare it, saith God, and it shall be done, saith God.
I receive that in Jesus' name. Woo! That was so powerful.
That message delivered is September 26, 2020 in Washington, D.C. And I'll tell you what, if you do not believe that God is absolutely good, you might buckle up, because it might change your mind over the next little bit. Today's guest is a husband, a father, and a grandfather. And even though he looks like he is barely 50, if that, he's been in ministry for over 50 years.
Maybe hard to believe.
He started right out of the womb.
No kidding.
Definitely possible. Somebody's been a loud voice in Stacy and I's life in the process of getting ready in the morning. We have a little Bose speaker. We're always listening to something to start the day. This is a regular voice in our home, for sure. He's the founding pastor of Regeneration Church in Nashville, Tennessee, and is author of a book called Turning Sorrow into Joy, A Journey of Faith into Perseverance. And I tell you what, I think people need a lot more of that right now, and they're going to need a lot more of this message right here. So like it, share it, and get ready to get blessed, Mr. Kent Christmas. There he is.
How are y'all?
Great. Well, we're doing awesome. We're so excited that you're on the show with us
today. The only way I'd be better is if you're in our live studio and we were sitting down here and I could just like poke you and touch you, but to have a conversation with you is a tremendous honor. I think in one of the darkest eras of our country, really, in a lot of ways, for a lot of people, isolation, depression, there was a lot of suicides and alcoholism, and a lot of people responding or adapting to the turmoil around them. You have been a light of clarity and a voice that has been brought hope to so many people in this season.
Well, you know, I hope that I can encourage people not to try to conform to their failures and their problems, but to challenge them to allow the word of the Lord to bring them into a level of victory. And so that's why I wrote that book. And watching the play there, The Return, I think that's the first time I've seen it in its entirety since that day. Wow. Or maybe the following day. So I'm the one that did it, and it still moves me.
No doubt about it. I mean, I'm so excited. As we were hearing it, we wrote some notes down, because David and I and the Flyover Conservatives team, we've been traveling all over the United States for the last couple of years with the Reawaken America event, as well as election integrity events, meet a lot of people. We've met thousands of people across the United States. And something that's been common in our conversation is they either say they met Jesus for the very first time over these last year, couple
of
years. They have rededicated their life to Jesus. They started reading their Bible at home. People that had never read their Bible at home. We're hearing that over and over and
people
and
may have been in the church
again
for 20, 30 years, but they're saying, for the first time in my life, I'm actually reading the Bible at home by myself. And like, for me, these are very encouraging things. These meet and greets we host, it's 1,000 people to pop that we're meeting and talking and shaking hands with in lines and things. And to see them taking ownership of their faith, they're also taking ownership of their health in a new way. They're taking ownership of their children's education in a new way. They're taking ownership of their finances in a new way. And but the grab of the Bible at home for themselves and saying, you know, I've seen a verse on the screen at church and things like that, but they're actually at home in private. I'm seeing the things that you said on that screen really play out in real life.
I think part of it is with the coronavirus and to see our culture change, it's knocked the silliness out of people. And there's a seriousness that's really gripped our nation, whether even in the liberal realm or in the conservative realm. And I think for Christians, it's making them get off the fence and get on one side or the other. And for those who have been nominal Christians, they're beginning to realize there might be something to this end time, and that we're getting close to the coming of the Lord. And they're feeling drawn. The Lord is drawing people and challenging them. And so there is a movement emerging, just as evil is beginning to come out into the open, so is righteousness. The gray area is disappearing in our country.
Man, that is so true. And, you know, you touched on the young people. Obviously, we saw Asbury College last year and kind of what they were experiencing. We've heard about the Billion Soul Harvest that, you know, is coming. Bob Jones had prophesied about that. And he talked about when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Now we're three Super Bowls in from the first time that they won. Right. So we're like, okay, God, we are so excited.
Yeah, the first one, we thought that'd be one ever.
Yeah.
We live in Kansas City. We thought that'll never happen again.
Yeah, no kidding, because it'd been 50 years. You know, and now to have so many times that they've been to the Super Bowl and then winning the Super Bowl. And so we're excited about what the pouring out of his glory. One of the things that you touched on that the Lord was saying through you was about the homosexual community, because I've been also hearing that a lot through Robin Bullock. So I know that you're friends with Robin Bullock out of Warrior, Alabama Church International. And, you know, he talks about that the homosexual community, that they are evangelists, and it's been something that's been stolen from them, that the enemy has taken a destiny that God has for them. But Robin's talked about it. You've talked about it, about revival hitting the homosexual community.
Well, I think one of the reasons that the demonic went against that segment of people is because there's a real sensitivity in those people. I would say this, some of the nicest, most talented, considerate people I've ever met were gay. And so the church has had a tendency, either we just tell them it's all right and we welcome them, or else we roast them and send them straight to hell. There has to be another alternative. And I believe that message is loving them, but still declaring the righteousness of God. And so I really believe this, that we have encased in the homosexual community right now some worship leaders, some psalmists, some songwriters, some powerful people that the Lord is getting ready to save. Woo. And loose them into the kingdom of God. Of course, in my book, I talk about this, but my firstborn son went into the homosexual lifestyle. And I remember when he was a teenager and we really began to confront the issue, he sobbed. And he told me, he said, "I've never seen anybody set free." And he said, "I know I'm going to hell, but I can't stop." And I never gave into that. I mean, I loved him unconditionally. I told him, I said, "I don't care if anybody knows that Kent Christmas' son is gay. You're my son, and I love you."
Yeah.
But I also told him, I said, "God is going to save you and deliver you." And one of the things that I find traveling, I don't do that much traveling as of late, but I have so many people come up to me and talk to me about the fact that their child, their niece, their nephew, their sister is gay. That seems to be a demonic spirit that has literally targeted this nation and this young generation. And it brings a lot of confusion. And it's different from other kinds of sins because it brings such a heaviness and such a despair on people. Without any question, we are going to see God. There's going to be a level of the presence of God, and as I'm beginning to see it in the house of the Lord, that when these men and women get in the presence of the Lord, they're going to instantly be set free. When my son got set free, he wasn't going to church. He was in his apartment getting ready to go party at the largest nightclub that we had in several states here in Nashville. And my wife and I had prayed over him for 14 years that God would deliver him. And one evening, the Holy Ghost showed up in his apartment and spoke to him and said, "Because of the prayers that have gone over you, I'm setting you free." And my son instantly was set free. When he died at the age of 43, he was married. He was in ministry. He had two children. But never look at him and see the residue of it. I've seen a lot of people that are not active in the homosexual community, but you can look at them and see that's their battle. Mm-hmm. That spirit is still on them. When God sets people free, he really sets them free. And he took that thing off of Joshua. And I believe that there is not a partial deliverance that's coming to the kingdom of God for these precious men and women, but there is a complete deliverance, and we're going to see them stand on our platforms. And I think that we're going to see God reach into Hollywood and begin to save some of these. We're seeing actors and actresses beginning to openly profess their conversion to the Lord Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. And, you know, when the Lord got ready to turn the world upside down, he took the strongest voice that the devil had in the earth, turning from a Saul into a Paul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that God is going to take some liberal voices that have been such an advocate for the liberal agenda, give them a divine encounter with him, and there's going to be a 180 switch, and we're going to see them in our churches declaring the glory of the Lord.
Woo, man, Steve, that's so exciting.
You do see that happen, and it's not advertised on mainstream media, but we hear it in one-on-one stories all the time with people mm-hmm. in different realms and areas. What advice do you have for families to maintain those relationships during that window? Because you said it very clearly, and I would feel the same way. My son, man, I don't care what would ever happen. Like, I would pursue him in his life. I don't care. There is no scenario that I would not continue pursuing him. But families get in this space of like, okay, do I change my view on what's possible for them? Do I let go of that to maintain the relationship? Do I condone? How do I maintain this connection during that season? How do I continue to pray in faith if maybe I don't even think that a breakthrough is possible? What advice do you have for families? Because this can be a very divisive and cause separations in communication, you know, in windows right. like that.
Well, first of all, you got to separate the child from the spirit that's got them. All right. Homosexuality is a demonic spirit. You know, we can give it all kinds of labels, but society has a unique way that when they don't want to think things a demon, they'll give it a medical name or whatever.
It's true.
With Joshua, I never blurred the line on what the scripture said. It wasn't, you know, Romans and Corinthians is very black and white about homosexuality. And we know this from history that the last vestige of a nation before it falls is it falls into the realm of homosexuality and it really embraces it. So with Joshua, he always knew, and there was a season where he avoided me because he felt uncomfortable around me, even though I did not preach to him about it. I told him, I said, you're welcome in my home anytime, but you can't bring your partner. So we had some lines drawn. Mm-hmm. Some people will probably disagree with this, but I told my son, I said, I would rather God save you, deliver you, and kill you that I could have you in eternity forever than to let you live this lifestyle and then I lose you forever in eternity. Ooh. And so we went for a lot of years, and the last year we went to several ministry couples that we had great confidence in, and we said, we can't carry this burden by ourselves. We need you to begin to stand with us in prayer. And one of the dear brothers who really helped my son once he got saved, evolve out of that and get rooted and grounded. He said, Brother Ken, he said, the way you have to pray for your son is like the prodigal son. He never was willing to come home until he came to himself. He said, when he came to mm-hmm. himself, when he got in his right mind, then he said, I'm going home. He said, you start praying, God, whatever it takes for my son to come to himself, start thinking straight. Do it. And that's what we did. And then that's when God began to do the miracle. So I'm a strong believer in not crossing your personal convictions or the convictions of the scripture. to try to maintain that relationship and yet stay true to the word of the Lord. And I think love conquers all things. And even when that child or that adult child will avoid you and you know, say hateful things because you won't come to their wedding or celebrate their lifestyle, you hold on to the word of the Lord, because then God will come through and give you the answers you need.
You've definitely earned the right to write this book, mm-hmm. because that is a sorrow, mm-hmm. you know, that's so deep, that turned to joy. You did come out and have victory on that. You know, you're not speaking in theoretical ideas. You've seen sorrow right. turn to joy.
Well, you know, it was very painful. 14 years is a long time. And to, you know, walk into a restaurant and see your son with another man and all of those things, not allowing that to detour you from belief. I told the Lord, I said, I dedicated him to you when he was a baby. And you said that when a child's old, they will not depart from it. It doesn't mean they won't backslide. It means that they'll never lose their belief system in the word of God.
Wow.
And when Josh got old, what we put in him as a child brought him back.
Wow.
And so I think there's a lot of families you need to get ready to celebrate, because God loves the homosexual community. Our church loves the homosexual community. We welcome them with open arms. We will not condone their lifestyle. But I'll tell you what, we'll love them, we'll pray with them, and we'll be their best friend.
Man. Okay, let's talk a little bit about, you were talking about—
You've got to get this book.
I know, for sure.
Turning sorrow into joy.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk a little bit about, Pastor Kent, you were talking about what happens to a country with homosexuality when it's such a big part of the culture. And right. obviously, you know, this Easter, that it was, you know, a couple weeks ago, that Resurrection Sunday, what happened at the White House, everything that they were doing there, and them kind of just covering up the whole Easter resurrection and going to the transgender movement. And then even anybody that did come, if they had the Easter eggs, they couldn't have anything that had anything to do with Christ. No Christian symbols or anything like that. So obviously, right. What was it, like 145 days or something celebrating LGBTQ or something in this country?
Throughout the year, yeah.
Throughout the year. What's your thought on that? Obviously, it doesn't sound like our country's in very good shape right now.
No, but you know, the enemy is now, he's going after foundational principles that, you know, there can be things that separate culture on our paradigms on different things. But abortion is a foundational issue. Homosexuality is a foundational issue. The deity of Christ is a foundational issue. And so one of the things that I've noticed in the last few years is the devil is no longer hiding. There's no shame in sin. It's the more perverted it is, the more they laud it. So it should not surprise us that the enemy's going for the jugular vein. And one of the things that is happening is the enemy is trying to remove landmark principles. That's why we see a lot of different statues and different things being removed from the nation, because they represent another era of righteousness. And so what we're really not a Christian nation anymore in the sense of what we used to be, but we're trying to, this is right now, there's an agenda to remove the idea of God ruling our lives, mm-hmm. that, yeah, there can be a God, but he's some mystical power in another world. So they're going after the foundational traditional principles that shape our nation. And of course, Easter being one of them. And they sit in a room somewhere and plan this one. Let's call this day on Easter when we're celebrating. It's really one of the most religious, probably the most religious holiday that we have in the United States.
Yep.
So that's the day targeted, because they're eroding. They're just constantly eroding and attacking the foundation of Christianity. So we should you know, the church, the true church is going to have to catch up with the passion that evil has and manifest that same kind of passion in the community of God in prayer and fasting and getting committed back to the principles of Christ. Yeah.
And the boldness that is on that side for sure, you know, because you know, one thing about conservatives for sure and Christians as a whole, you don't want to be marked as a bad person. You don't want to be marked as insensitive or any kind of a phobe or, you know, these things because you have a standard, you know, and the Bible for me is something that I come to and there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit of like things I need to work on. You know, like I need to be molded to it. There seems to be a movement within the church as a whole. When I say the church, like I'm broad brush stroking the whole organization as let's dilute, change, water down this to make people more comfortable, adapt the Bible to a moral standard versus people adapting themselves to the standard
of the plumb line of the Bible.
The plumb line of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a verse that says that the truth of God endureth to all generations. And I don't know where the church fell into this fallacy that we have to compromise in order to keep people in the building. Pentecostal faith is growing at a speed of four times faster than any other religion in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is, the Lord really spoke this to me a few years ago prophetically. He said that most of this end time harvest will be under the age of 40.
Wow.
And that the glory of God is going to begin to settle down in secular schools, in grade schools, and kids are going to begin to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in classrooms while secular teachers can't figure out what's going on. God is not giving this nation back to the enemy. And so the reason there's such as an attack, and I look at all these guys, you know, in reality, it's difficult to turn on the TV on Sunday morning and find anybody that really challenges your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We have inspirational speakers. We have motivational speakers, but you can't find preachers anymore. I mean that, you know, have some common sense and some balance. We have a lot of teaching and I'm not making teaching sound small, but the Bible says you're saved by the foolishness of preaching. And there's this issue about like staying away from key words. So we don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. If you're not right with God and you come to my church, when you leave, I want you to be uncomfortable. I want there to be conviction in the house, not condemnation. Condemnation drives people from God. Conviction pulls people to God.
Ooh.
And we have confused that. And so the presence of God is the only thing that's going to loose this nation. And so we're a very visual young generation. They're very visually stimulated. And they're really not motivated by prosperity. They're not a materialistic generation. They're looking for truth. And so if you can produce a church, there's some keywords I stay away from, but it's not blood and different things like that. It's I'm just trying not to get kicked off of YouTube by mentioning.
Yeah.
You know, my top guy that helps me, he says, you know, when you start talking and you use the word Biden, you use the word Obama and different words, he said, you know, they're going to trigger algorithms and then YouTube's going to kick you off and then nobody gets to hear it. So I'm trying to have some wisdom in getting my point across without having compromise.
Got to stay in the game.
There.
Exactly.
Yeah. But our church is, and we're in a good example of this. All right. You know, I don't know where you want to go in this interview, but I pastored the church that we have for probably 16 years, and we averaged 100 to 150 people. Only a couple of times we might have had 200 people. We could not make that church grow, but I preached the same as I do now. We had the same style, same kind of worship. So I told my wife this, I'm not willing to compromise and become seeker friendly just to have more people in the seats. Because if my church runs 5,000, how many of those will stand alongside me on judgment day? You know, no matter if you have 20,000 people in your church, how many of the 20,000 are going to make it to heaven? Or did you give such a watered down version? Did you make them feel so comfortable in their sin that you had their bodies, but you lost their souls? So wow. I kept true to the style. I hate to use the word Pentecost, but that's how the church started on the day of Pentecost. Now, you know, we have a good balance in our church and we're not crazy. We're not, you know, blowing shofars and playing tambourines and running around screaming and hollering. But there is a liberty in our house, and there is a presence of the Lord. I've had people tell me, you know, you need to change the way you preach because you're too demonstrative. But I've got to be true to how God, you know, uses me to preach. But because of that, what we're seeing is we're having people every single month that are moving from other states, not for jobs. They're moving specifically to be in our church because they are hungry for what they feel in that building. I believe that we've obviously morphed into an international church. You know, we touch the world. It's very humbling, but it's simply because people, I think, are hungry for that style of church. I'll give you a quick example, and if you want to interrupt me here, I'm talking too much, just let me know.
I'm just enjoying this.
Me too.
Years ago, all of a sudden, the church decided we're too sophisticated for hymns. You know, they're out of style, so we're not singing At the Cross anymore and those kind of songs. So we just trashed them, and we embraced, you know, songs that are all really slow. They don't have a lot of victory in them, and we went into that style. So then you have a gentleman that comes along named Bill Gaither, and he just begins to sing old hymns and bring some of these old groups back. And all of a sudden, in 1 year, the top seven videos in the world in every genre of music, he has the top four selling and putting 25,000 people in an arena. Why? Because there was a segment of America that was so hungry for that, to go back to that place that they felt safe and they felt the anointing of God. Because those songs were written by people, I mean, you know, It Is Well With My Soul is written by a guy who's standing on a ship looking where his wife and daughter drowned. Yep. And he's singing It Is Well With My Soul. And so I've noticed over the years, we try to have a balance. We don't, you know, we don't have hymn books and all of that. But I've noticed that when you go back to some old traditional songs that still have that heavy anointing of God on them, soon as you hit the first stanza, the whole congregation just comes alive.
Yep.
Same thing with anointing. You know, an anointing is not how loud you preach or how demonstrative you are. It is the Holy Spirit flowing through that individual into that audience. And I think that the seeker-friendly church has really made a mistake in thinking everybody wants a controlled environment. Don't convict me. Don't challenge me. And in the meantime, we're raising up churches. Hallelujah. That people are starving for the presence of the Lord.
And I think it's almost, there can become almost like a malnourishment where people, you know, get almost scurvy, you know, for the truth, for something real. And in a world of, you know, people don't look as good in real life as they do on Instagram, and celebrities don't look as good in real life as they do in a film. And there's, you know, fake this and fake that, and there's an undo button and a filter, and there's all of these things. I think there's this younger generation, and I mean people that are younger, gets that group grows by the day.
as we get older
because now I look at my, oh, they're my kid's age, I'm like, oh no, he's 15 younger than my kids, you know. but you see this generation, I think that these kids now, they're say 20, you know, in that era, you mentioned earlier, they're not quite as materialistic driven, but they're looking around and they're saying, okay, there's a little bit of, I was sold to get a college education. I needed this. And they're like, I don't know, that's panning out as well. They're looking at a lot of different things that they were sort of sold. And I think there's this hunger for like, okay, I'm done with TikTok and this and that. Like, what is true? What is real? And, you know, it's almost like, you know, burned down to its raw, like an essential oil, like the key essence, you know, and truth isn't an idea or a cliche or something you can stitch on a pillow. It's a person. And I think they're being drawn to that person. And when that person's presented and they see Jesus, they meet Jesus, they encounter Jesus, and that conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's like, this is what I've been looking for in everything that's sparkly that's being sold on TV. And they know it when they encounter it. And I think there's a hunger for that.
For the supernatural.
Yeah. For to see that's real. You know, that God's not this idea far away, that God wants to encounter us. And when they come into a facility, like you just said, and there's nothing magical about a building versus a, you know, in your living room, but the phone's kind of put away for a minute, you know, and you're just kind of in an environment that's conducive to encountering God, they get it. And they're kind of hungry for that.
Well, you know, Jesus, his ministry, when you read about, say that there were so many people that it would throng him. And I think having great crowds is going to be the least of our problems in church, because there is, as we begin to see the demonstration of the Spirit, and we see documented miracles in our church all the time, from stage 4 cancer, Parkinson's disease, that, you know, just seeing God do incredible things. And that inspires the faith of people, that when they're seeing the demonstration of the Spirit of the Lord. And so I think that God is, he has a segment of men and women that he has been grooming for years that nobody's ever heard of, that he's beginning to bring them forth. And, you know, at the age that I am, never was known until 3 years ago. But, you know, it took all those years of chipping away and sculpturing and learning. I had to reach a place to where if 100 people was all that God had raised me up to pastor, then I was going to have to learn to be happy in that, and Christ was going to have to be enough. And so God takes us all through the process, and he burns the ego out of us. And the other thing is, we have so many guys that stand in pulpits, but they can't identify with the pain of the average man. They never know what it is to be broke. They've never had a real job. You know, there's just... everything has just been wonderful for them. And God is raising up men and women that have been through some painful times and difficult situations and can still say that we are triumphant in the Lord. And so, you know, my book entails the story of my life. I don't think When I was challenged to write a book, I said, nobody wants to read about my life. I think I'm a boring person. But I feel like I'm more laity than I am ministry, you know, because I had, over the years, I had a lot of jobs from, I was a logger, I was a pipe fitter, I roofed, you know, I drove a semi-truck, just, you know, trying to make ends meet and then go back on a road and try to evangelize and then come home broke again. And one of the things I refused to do was I wouldn't call for meetings. And I just believe that a man's gift maketh room for him. And so, you know, all of the things that I went through, I think that the body of Christ goes through. Sometimes leaders forget that the sheep that they're leading have some real difficulties in their lives. Yeah. And instead of shearing the sheep, we need to love them and take care of them. And so I probably couldn't have wrote this book right here 15 years ago. There still was another chapter in my life that had to be written. And I think that this book will be an encouragement to a lot of people, from learning how to serve God in victory when you're broke, and when your children die, when you're divorced, and when your gifts don't work, and you're invisible and forgotten, and you reach depths where you don't want to live anymore, and yet you still come out of those. And today, you know, I can say without unequivocally, I have fought the fight, and I kept the faith. And so I think that we have an answer for a lot of people and a hope. And I will say this, the best days of the church are ahead of us.
I feel
Amen.
That.
Yes.
Turning sorrow into joy. You guys go to kentchristmas.org to be able to find that. We'll have the link down below.
Yeah, I think it's so important. One of the things, as I was kind of just, you know, reading about the book, is you talked about destiny. And I think that is a question that a lot of people have, you know, nowadays, like, what was I born for? And have I missed it? Have the things I've done in the past, have they taken me off so far off course that I've missed why God put me here on the earth? Do you want to touch on that real fast before we let you go?
I think that for me, I didn't realize I had this destiny. You know, I basically thought I was done. I finally reached a point where I said, Lord, if this is all there is, then I'll accept that. And, you know, I'll be in eternity with you. God takes us, a lot of times he won't show us the end, because then that would take the pain out of the journey. If I could have saw the end 20 years ago, then it wouldn't have been as difficult to get here. And so God doesn't show the end because he wants you to walk by faith. And ultimately, it's not about the prize at the end. It's about the relationship that you develop with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know this without any doubt. Without my prayer life, I would have never survived. And I thank God for my ministry. But, oh, I value my relationship that I have on a personal level with the Lord much greater. Because in eternity, I won't be a preacher. I'll just be a disciple of the Lord. And I want to encourage people that all you have to do is your best. If the Holy Spirit has put, if there's not a conviction in you that says you need to stop doing this, then you just, if you're not hearing from the Lord, you keep doing what you heard him last say. And you just walk it out day by day. You do your best, and you stay in the Word, and you stay in your prayer time. And I would not be here today if it had not been for my prayer life. And I'm grateful to the Lord. I'm thankful for, you know, I'm a very private person. I don't really like being well known. you don't have the anonymity anymore in an airport or things like that.
You couldn't walk 5 feet without people knowing you.
Yeah. So, you know, that. But if, you know, I always told the Lord, so I'll be as famous as you need me to be to make you famous.
Ooh.
And
that's powerful.
And so, you know, I think that all of us have to go through those years to where he breaks the self in us so that Christ can be released. And if you see somebody who is used mightily of God, if you could see behind the curtain, you'd see a lot of pain, a lot of tears, and a lot of blood, a lot of disappointment, because that's what it takes to break self, to release the Christ in us.
Turning Sorrow into Joy, incredible book, just came out by Kent Christmas. You go to kentchristmas.org to be able to get that, as well as other resources and be able to stay in touch with his ministry.
Before I know that as people were listening, I know that they're thinking, oh, my brother-in-law needs this, or my grandma would love this book.
My husband needs this.
Get this book for them too. You don't just buy it for yourself, buy it for other people as well. This is a great great gift. We have Mother's Day coming up. We've got Father's Day. There's all kinds of things that, you know, a reason to give it to someone that would be such an encouragement for them. So don't just buy it for yourself. Yes. Buy it for others as well. Kent,
before I let you go, I need at least three tips from you on a whole nother shift directions here on health and fitness, because we watch you all the time. And I'll say to Stacey, I mean, I bet this brother can do push-ups until he gets bored. He can just sit there and like drink his coffee, doing it with one hand probably for a while, and just do pull-ups. He can just kind of stop for a while and take a nap and then keep going. You know, give me like three tips, because you're as busy as anybody. You got as many meetings and lunch and different, you know, every reason someone else would have to be out of shape and not taking care of their temple, you would have times 10 probably. So give us like three tips on how to have that like Jack Russell Terrier scrappy gristliness.
You know, I eat really boring, no sugar, except one day a week. My wife and I go to Dairy Queen. I get a Blizzard. That's my reward.
Good.
no sugar, no white, no fried, no dairy. High protein. I do cardio 4 days a week, 30 minutes at a time. And then I lift about 45 minutes. And I just been doing that for, 40 years. And I'll tell you why I work out and really discipline my flesh. Is because when you can discipline your flesh, it spills over into your spirit life. And one of the things that it really helped me was when my flesh was disciplined, then my prayer life flourished because my flesh did not control me. And so living a life of discipline, and because of that, I've been able to touch young guys, young people like me. And, you know, I got a lot of young couples in my church, young guys that want to be in shape and all of that.
Yeah.
So drink a lot of water.
When your pastor can out arm wrestle you, that's kind of inspiring.
That is inspiring.
You know?
Okay. And then one more thing before we let you go, this is just,
one more thing.
I just felt like as we were going through this, I know that there's people listening whose children, are in homosexual lifestyles, and just want to know if you'd be willing to pray. Pray for the parents, pray for the kids, if you'd be willing to do that before we let you go.
I would. I'd be honored to.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Now, I'm just going to pray to the camera.
Perfect.
Please. In the name of the Lord, God, I just now begin to speak that there would be a renewed strength in these parents. That God, as their children have been entrapped by the enemy, God, you said that we are pulling down strongholds. And Lord, we declare in the name of the Lord that God, our children, that the enemy has stolen from us, we release by the anointing of God that this thing is broken in Jesus' name. And God, that you would begin to fill these parents with quality understanding on how to pray. Surround them with men and women, God, that will strengthen them. Lord, we declare in the Holy Ghost that you would begin to draw these children. Lord, that they would not depart from the precepts that they've been taught. And God, we want to praise you now for the harvest of these men and women that are coming in, our psalmists and our teachers, our artistic young men and women that you're going to bring in to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. And we thank you for it. We declare it done in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So powerful. Pastor Kent, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time. Flyover family, you can go to kentchristmas.org. Make sure you get his book, not just for yourself, but for loved ones as well. Pastor Kent, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
If you want to do anything worthwhile in life, you've got to be hungry. It's better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have one than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. So every day I was working to develop myself. And that's what you must do.
I promise you one thing. You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season.
Get in here! Hey, we got 30 minutes for the rest of our life!
30 minutes
for the rest of our life!
There were none before me, and there will be none after me. Therefore, that makes me the one and only. Young and single and love to mingle, certified, bona fide, and doubly qualified to bring you satisfaction, a whole lot of action. Look out, baby, I'm your love man. I was hungry! You gotta be hungry!
Hey, Flyover family, come join us June the 27th and 28th, 2024 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're going to be there with Clay Clark, an amazing group of individuals that have made such a difference in so many people's lives.
Do you want to increase your production in a job? Do you want to make more sales? Do you want to own your own business? Do you want to have breakthroughs financially? The key to that is knowledge.
Clay Clark is anointed to help people in business. We've watched him over the last couple of years, and we've been blown away. He's part owner of over 160 businesses, $2.4 billion in sales.
Before politics and the Great Reset came into Clay's life, he had the number one rated Apple podcast. And he interviewed people like Anthony Robbins, Seth Godin, the top authors, the top business minds in the world. At this specific event, there's an interesting cast of characters that come from gangs to American Idol.
Some of the guests that are going to be there: Michael Levine, Colton Dixon, Peter Tompkins, John Lee Dumas, Mondo De La Vega,
and Tim Tebow. They're there to share what they've done and their breakthroughs and what their story is. And then Clay lays his map of business success, calls the path for every person to follow.
So you may be sitting there thinking, okay, I get it. What do I have to do? Go to thrivetimeshow.com. When you get there, the tickets are $250 or whatever you can afford. Yes, you got that right. $250 or whatever you can afford. You can name your price. So there are no excuses. You have to join us there. There are only a few VIP tickets left, like David said, special dinner and special time with the speakers. That is $500 why they last. So $500, only a few left if you want a VIP ticket. We want to meet these speakers as well, so we got VIP tickets.
I want to meet Tim Tebow.
I do too. The date is June the 27th and 28th, 2024 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go to thrivetimeshow.com to get your tickets. This is a crazy time to be alive.
Well, just in our lifetime, used to be where you'd hear your grandparents talk about how cheap gas was and stuff. And it was 75 years before, 50 years you know, before.
And so we've seen a lot of changes since Biden took office. $700 more a month
than what you needed in January of 21 when he took office.
You might hear these kind of things and think, oh, that's overwhelming. I can't control the government. I can't control what they're doing. I can't control the spending. But we can take care of ourselves.
You want to make sure that you're buying bullion from somebody that you can trust and someone that does not charge you a commission when you go to sell.
If there's going to be a commission, have it on the front end, not the back end when it skyrockets. And now you're like, oh my gosh, look at this big, huge commission I got to pay because it's on the back end before I sell it.
You can buy an ounce of silver for $23. So this is something everybody can get into. And if silver goes to $50, if it goes to $75, if it goes to $100, all of those profits are yours. And that's happening while the dollar is buying less and less at the actual grocery store.
So you can go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Or to do the same thing, you can just call 720-605-3900. For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.